Sometimes when you get up, you want to make sure that you're getting your thoughts out. And when he started his message this morning, he mentioned, you know, to be able to get the thoughts out as they had come to him throughout the week. And I definitely have the same feelings, that I would like to make sure that I'm able to get out the thoughts that the Lord would have. So the other day, I was headed to work. And I headed down to Robert, got on the interstate there. As I was getting on the interstate at Robert, I wasn't really paying attention to things a whole lot. I mean, I was checking for traffic, and I start to merge into traffic, and all of a sudden this truck was behind me, beside me, cutting him into the other lane, and he was driving really fast. So my assumption was that he had been in that far lane and then decided to try to cut in and pass the car that was in the far lane while I was trying to merge on. And so, as human nature will have us do sometimes, I decided to look and see what kind of silly person was driving that truck. And you know what struck me, though, as I looked at him? There was a guy in the truck that was looking to see what kind of silly person was merging into traffic the way I did. And I was struck by that, because I really wasn't upset. I was just curious, what's this guy? Is he in a hurry? And the gentleman didn't look upset, but he did look like, well, you know, what's your problem? And I got to thinking, you know, I don't know if he was really passing that person or not. He might have been in the slow lane the whole time. I might have just cut that man off without even thinking about it. And I'm looking at him like he's the one with the problem. And we heard this morning about determination from Chad, and I would like to talk to us this evening about being intentional. I was going to work, driving to work, merging onto the interstate, but I wasn't very intentional about it. I was kind of off in a little la-la land, and I'm just assuming that I've checked everything, all my blind spots are cleared, and apparently not. And I felt challenged about something. I feel like the Lord challenged me, and the rest of the day I tried to do something. I felt like the Lord challenged me about, do I truly think about how my actions reflect on Him throughout the day? Every one of my actions. How many of us kind of go through the day with our brains kind of running over a bunch of stuff, and we're constantly thinking about things, but are we truly thinking about what we're doing at the moment? Are we really paying attention to where we're at? Who we're interacting with? In the world, there's a term called mindfulness. And it's actually been quite popular the last little bit. To businesses and schools are using it. It's about being in the moment. The definition the world uses is the psychological process of bringing one's attention to experiences occurring in the present moment. And in the world, they talk about the benefits that this has. It reduces stress. It improves productivity. They use it and teach it in schools and in prisons for people to be, when they're in a touchy situation, to be able to see what's going on and de-escalate it. And it's often taught with call to, as you process what's going on around you, to be non-judgmental. That all sounded really good compared to what the Lord had brought to my mind that morning. But then I got to digging into it deeper. And this particular version of mindfulness is actually based on Buddhist teachings. Just about every one of the people that were pushing this type of mindfulness, if you research far enough, they were actually practitioners of Buddhism. And it was interesting to me because the term that today they translate as mindfulness, the Buddhists really don't like that translation. They say it's actually a combination of several things: attention, awareness, retention, and recollection. And I got to thinking about that. So, you know, the Lord kind of did put on my heart, I needed to pay more attention to what I was doing, to to be more aware of where I was at. I couldn't recollect if the guy had been in the lane or not. I couldn't remember that. But I thought, okay, Lord, well, you brought this to my mind, and what is it you want me to get out of it? And I felt like He sent me to the Bible to go look up what does the Bible say about what the world calls mindfulness. And it was quite interesting. There is a word in the Bible that, for the most part, matches that Buddhist term. And the word is yada. And not as in the yada, 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 I'm not listening to you. It's the word yada, to know. But it means to know by experience. To learn, to perceive, to discern, to confess, to consider, to know people relationally, to know how, to be skillful, to be made known, to make oneself known, or to make to know. And the more I studied on that word, the more I realized God does want us to be mindful, but in a different way than what the world is teaching. The world is wanting you to be aware of yourself. If you read anything that is out there today about mindfulness, it's about self-awareness. The Buddhists, they teach this mindfulness because it's supposed to help you avoid greed, ill will, and delusion. So in the Buddhist teaching, if you will take the time to become self-aware, to become mindful of what you've been doing, what you're feeling, you can, on your own, take steps to eliminate greed, ill will, and delusion from your life. And I would say that at a basic level, you probably can. But I also think that looking at what's in the Bible, God wants us to be self-aware, but in a different perspective. That word yada, to know, is to know in a relationship format. And I would like for us to start out looking at some verses here. Psalms 39 and 4. Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. God wants us to know who we are, who we really are, not who we think we are, not what we think we are. He wants us to know who we are. We have feelings. And in the world, as part of their mindfulness, they would want you to take those feelings and analyze them. And their view of those feelings is you then start aggregating this together and this becomes part of you. And therefore, because it's part of you, you don't fight these things. Whereas the Lord wants us to be aware of who we are so we'll understand our relationship with Him. It's a knowing for that relationship. It's a stage of getting ready to truly get to know God in our lives. He wants us, first of all, to learn ourselves, to become aware of how frail we are. Then in Psalms 51 and 6, in Psalms 51 and 6, it says, "Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part, thou shalt make me to know wisdom." So as we start this process of knowing God, and we first start learning who we are, how frail we are, that we're regular men with no special powers, we're not any different than anybody else, we need all the help we can get, just like everybody else. But now God wants us to start looking inside to what He has for us. And it struck me here that this starts inside. He wants a deep inward relationship with us. He wants truth to start being known in our hearts. Because He's going to use that to also teach us wisdom. But once again, thinking about the verb yada, to know, but in that experience type of knowing, in that perception type of knowing, it's beyond just a definition of knowing what truth and wisdom are. It's actually having them active. You can perceive them active in your life, in your heart, in your soul. Moving on over to Psalms 143 and 6. actually not 143:6, 143:8. It says, cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. So now as we continue to grow, the Lord's looking to say, okay, you've discovered who you are, and you're probably continuing to find out who you are. I will admit to you all, the Lord talks to me as he did the other day and tells me more things like, hey, you need to be more aware. You're not very observant sometimes. But as we continue to grow, he also wants us to really start to know him, to know his loving kindness. Talks about here, loving kindness, cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. That relationship, he's wanting to really start expanding on it, to give us more knowledge of him and of what he can do. And then based on that, he also wants us to then start understanding our walk. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. What do I do today? Just like he challenged me the other day after that incident. He challenged me to walk differently in my mind the rest of that day, to try to be more aware when I was interacting with people. What was my facial expression? What were my words? Was I quick to speak and maybe in a tone that was angry, even if I wasn't feeling anger? You know, sometimes we can speak quickly and forcefully, and it can come across that we're upset about something, but we're not. But he challenged me that day to walk differently, to start being a little aware of he had a different path he was wanting me to do in life. Proverbs 1, verses 1 through 4. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. There's a lot of things in these four verses. If you think about our world today, and the leadership that is in our world today, wisdom, justice, judgment, equity, subtlety, knowledge, and discretion. Are those necessary in our world today? I don't know about you all, but when I read the news or hear things out in the world today, especially in the political scene, there's times as I wish that there was more wisdom, knowledge, judgment, discretion, things that could be kept where it should be kept. Not everything has to be public, but nowadays it seems like everything's public. But God would want us to learn that. He wants us to know that. Why is that useful? Why does he want that? As you live your life, if you can know these things that are in these four verses, how do you think you're going to do on your job? How do you think you'll do when it comes to raising your children? What about in your relationships with your family? You know, there's times sometimes where discretion is needed. You see something going on, but you choose for the moment to not take drastic action. I know Dad would always try to find out what was going on. It didn't mean I wasn't going to get whooped. But oftentimes, he would want to sit down and kind of go through, okay, I saw this and I saw that, and I want to find out what's going on. What's your side of the story? And if he found out things he didn't know, you might actually get off the hook, so to speak. He would still get on to us for our reactions. I was a bit of a hothead, and my way of communicating oftentimes was to punch somebody first rather than go talk to him about it. So I usually still got corrected on that. It was one of those things that he would say, okay, well, now I understand why you did what you did, but let's talk about your reaction to that. And he would handle up on the rest, but judgment, wisdom, discernment, those are things God wants us to know, and not just at a high level, but he wants us to know that relationally. He wants us to understand it, how to apply it, how it relates to the things in our lives, and how it relates to us living our lives for him. I can irritate people without intending to do it, without being aware of it. How does that impact their relationship with me? It has an impact. And then if I turn around and I try to go work with that person on something, but they're not wanting to work with me because of this offense that I did without meaning to, I need to be more aware. I need to think about that relationship to know and understand how that goes together. Going over to Proverbs 4 and 1. Hear ye children the instruction of the father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. So as we continue to grow, the Lord's going to have us learn from other authority figures. Initially, our parents. That's one of the starting points. That is one of the reasons why the Bible talks about obey your parents. It is a source, a starting point of knowledge and of a relationship with knowledge that you need to have. Something beyond just book learning. And he wants us to understand that eventually it leads to him. Because notice it was, for I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. So while it started off talking about your parents, it ended up talking about God's law and his doctrines. And that something, you know, the doctrines and the law, how does that apply to us? Is it enough just to know them? In Sunday school class this morning, talking to the boys, we were kind of talking about different things. And shirt sleeves, how long are they? How long are they supposed to be? Well, long. So what's long? How long is a long sleeve shirt? Is there a defined point on that? And as you start asking questions like that, you start realizing that just to say and know that I should wear a long sleeve shirt doesn't even begin to cover proper understanding of what our dress code of modesty is. And just to say, well, I know we're supposed to wear long sleeve shirts, may not be enough. What if I'm working where I've got my arms up above my elbows in oil? Do you think Diane would appreciate it if I rolled my shirt sleeves up? Rather than just put them all down in there? There's some wisdom in that. But then again, if we're thinking about modesty, where am I doing this at? Am I in a garage where it's just me and that's okay? But it's that relational knowing, that understanding of experience, remembering and learning that it's beyond just a rule of wear a long sleeve shirt, but it's the understanding of why we have that rule. What's the basis behind that rule? God really wants us to know and understand his rules so that we can make proper judgment calls of how to live life so that I'm not going into the laundry room and dropping my oily shirt in the laundry basket with everything else and then having a potentially upset wife want to know what on earth was I thinking. But there's a reason God wants us to learn that. Going on down to Proverbs 27 and 23. Proverbs 27 and 23. Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks, and look well to thy herds. One of the things that we oftentimes don't really think about is God does want us to be good stewards of the physical things that he has given us. He's given us those things for our sustenance, to provide for us, to provide for our families. And he wants us to understand that, to know how that relates to our life. How can we use those for him? I was reading a book on Christian financial management once, and the gentleman was talking about a bunch of people he knew that were investing money so that they could help different missionary funds out. And he didn't say that was a bad idea, but he had a question for those folks. He said, all right, but when are you going to pull the money out and give it to the missionary? So you've got all this money invested for this missionary program, but nobody was pulling out. Nobody was taking the money to go give it to the missionary. If the missionary could have somehow lived magically off of the money in these stocks, he would have been well off. But instead, he was struggling because people had invested and they were doing well with the money, but they had forgotten the relationship for why they had that money. In their mind, they knew the Lord had given it to them to help the missionary out, but they wanted to do more, so they were trying to get more money, but in doing so, that missionary had no money. And the Lord wants us to be aware of what has He given us? Why has He given it to you? And is He given it to you for your own purpose or not? I'm not going to turn to the verse, but there is a verse that talks about you're giving much so that you can help people in their day of trouble, so that later on when you run into trouble, they'll have plenty to help you. A lot of times in the Bible, we get so focused on putting up for ourselves that I sometimes think we forget to know and understand how the Lord wants us to handle the finances. Proverbs 29 and 7. Proverbs 29 and 7. The righteous considereth the cause of the poor, but the wicked regardeth not to know it. This is another one of those where the righteous will consider the poor, will be aware of it, and not just, okay, I know there's somebody poor, but what can I do to help? Whereas it says here, the wicked regardeth not to know it. The wicked's not even going to try to learn about it. Will probably try to ignore it. I've lived in several different places and in some large towns, and you see the homeless on the street. And sometimes when you talk to them, it's easy to say, well, they're all just a scam. And there are those that are. But you know, sometimes there's genuine people down on their luck. And the Lord challenged me with a thought one time from the scripture that talks about when you have it to give, don't really hold it back. Now, we are to give wisely, but sometimes do we get to thinking about, well, what if they waste it? What if this guy really is pulling my leg? What if this is a scam? You know what the Lord told me? It's my money, so what? If I ask you to give that guy my money and he wastes it, that's not your problem at all. It will be his problem someday. Because I think when we get to judgment, there's going to be things the Lord's going to bring up before us to say, I gave you a turning point, an option. I helped you out. And you didn't handle it wisely. You didn't do with it what you should. But we need to be aware of that. We need to look and see what we can do to help our brethren. Moving on to Jeremiah chapter 16. Jeremiah 16 and 21. Therefore, behold, I will this once cause them to know. I will cause them to know mine hand and my might, and they shall know that my name is the Lord. Now, this verse is in reference to people that want to follow false gods. And God is basically saying they want to make carvings. They want to set up gods that aren't really gods, and they're going to worship them. I will make known to that people who I am. You look at the calamities of the world, the stuff that goes on. What do you think causes that? Think of Job. Now, Job wasn't a case of a man that was worshiping false gods, but there was a devil that the Lord wanted to prove a point to. He said, I will show you I'm God, and I will also show you this man, my servant. He trusts me and he loves me. We need to remember God is God of all. We're going into another election season, and when you look at the rhetoric out there, it's all over the map, depending upon who you listen to. Do you know God is still in charge no matter what? The God of yesterday that set up the kings is the same God that will set up the presidents and the senators. No man gets into power except he approves it. Sometimes it's easy to get disturbed because, you know, through history, God has sometimes put bad kings into power on purpose. If he does that in our day, are you going to forget who God is? Or are you going to remember and know and have that experiential relationship that says, well, God, I've read through the Bible. You've done this before. And you've protected your people all those times before. Doesn't mean that there wasn't persecutions. But they all made it to where they were going. Jeremiah 24 and 7. And I will give them an heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return unto me with their whole heart. So we see here, as God continues to work with us, He really wants to get back to making sure that we keep that heart that He starts dealing with from the day we get saved, dedicated to Him. That we know that He's our God, and we also know and understand that we are His people. That we love Him with our whole hearts. Thinking of Chad's message this morning, the determination. How determined are you? How intentional are you about knowing and following the Lord? With your whole heart is what He wants. What does that encompass? Does it mean you can go to work, be cranky, grumpy because things are bad at work, come home and pray it off in the evening? Or does it mean even when you're at work and grumpy, the Lord's expecting you to exhibit the symptoms of one of His children? How many of y'all have ever been challenged by the verse, "Be ye angry and sin not"? We will have emotions in this world. Those emotions will flare. We have to be intentional. We have to be determined. How am I going to react? And if I react badly, what am I going to do about it? Back when I worked at Cox, I'd been on a national conference call. And in the conference call, I'd had a discussion, and it got a little heated with a person. And I said some things that afterwards the Lord lit me up on. Said, you didn't have to say it that way. That was just mean. You got your point across, but that it was totally unacceptable. You know what the Lord asked me to do? Set up another conference call with everybody that had been on the first one on it. And the sole purpose of that conference call, He wanted me to apologize to that person in front of everybody. Why? Was it just so that I would learn humility? That was a part of it. But you know what He was more worried about? His name. I had done something to impugn His name. And He wanted it cleared. He wanted people to understand this is not God. That was Eric Doolittle. God will want that from us sometimes. My advice to you all, if you can stay out of those situations, do. It's probably much better to not have to go through that. But at the same time, if you find yourself in it, are you willing to submit and say, okay, Lord, this isn't going to be easy, but I'm going to have to. I could have chose not to do that. If I did, I would just about guarantee you I wouldn't have been up here today. The Lord would have not called me any further and worked for Him. Why would He? He can't trust me. For two reasons. One, He can't trust me to act right. And two, He can't trust me to obey. And I have to follow Him correctly. If I'm corrected, why did He correct me? Because He loved me. Isn't that what the Scripture says? So if He did that because He loved me and I react by not going along with that, do you know I'm rejecting His love? It's that knowing relationship of God and starting to understand that when He corrects us, it's not out of anger. It's not out of the intent to destroy. We may feel like it sometimes. I mean, my ego was pretty well destroyed that day, I will admit. But He did it because I want to be able to continue to get to know You. I want to draw You closer to Me. And what is the purpose of our lives for Him? To obey Him? To get to know Him? Final set of scriptures in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 19. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He should grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with the fullness of God. This is actually the knowledge that He wants us to have. The knowledge that started before the world was ever formed with the plan of salvation. He wants us to understand that from the very beginning, He had already given His Son. It was a gift that had already been given. I don't know if it's easy to comprehend that. Christ came, yes, years after the earth was formed. But the decision and the willingness for that death had already been completed. And it was not, God didn't change His mind. He said, I know what it's going to take, but I'm fine with that. I love these people. I want to save them. That is what He wants us to know in that experiential knowledge, in that awareness, in that ability to understand and to truly grasp why we're where we're at in life. That God wants us to also share this knowledge with the world around us. One of the biggest mission fields we have is our everyday lives. I don't remember the minister that I was listening to online, but they were talking about there's people that each one of you will meet that nobody else in the congregation will ever meet, more than likely. Have you ever thought about that as a responsibility we have as Christians? That our mission field is a lot closer to us? Not to take away from any of the folks that actually go overseas on mission trips, but how many mission fields are we ignoring close by? And I'm going to say it with the challenge of myself. How many are we ignoring close by just because we're caught up in our day? We're busy doing stuff. At work the other day, I asked a guy, I was just walking by and I happened to notice one of my employees was sitting there kind of quiet. It's like, what's going on? You all right? Well, he had had a situation in his family. His uncle had died. Now, if I hadn't been paying what little bit of attention I was paying there, I could have walked by him, totally ignored it. I may have come by a little bit later and asked him about some project he was supposed to be working on and maybe even gotten short about him not being on top of it, being behind. And what would my impact been to that man who just found out he'd lost a family member? But by the Lord challenging me to take time to say, become more aware, be more intentional for what you do. When you look at a person, look at them. Do they look normal? Are they acting normal? Is there something about them that calls out that there may be an issue that needs to be addressed through love? Sometimes it's just letting people talk to you. But I would challenge us, all of us, as we go through life, the world's trying to push its agenda. I actually found it interesting. The Buddhists are now actually starting to kind of push back on the world taking over their mindfulness. because they feel like the world has changed what they were trying to teach to the point that it actually, instead of getting rid of greed, ill will, and delusion, it's actually kind of pushing those agendas now. And there is the part of me that kind of chuckled, isn't that what the world does with anything? It will take good and try to make it look evil, and it'll take evil and try to make it look good. I ask you all to please just, as you go through your days, be intentional about them. Think about what you're doing. Think about who you're interacting with. And think about, what are the consequences of my actions? If I act this way, will that person truly say that's a child of God? Or will they say, wow, that's just another gnarly human being? You all pray for me.